Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace. Go in the Holy Spirit's power. Sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We're so blessed that each week you take the time to listen and grow in God's grace and get to go out and sow seeds of faith. He is risen. He is risen indeed. It was almost 2,000 years ago that the women went to the tomb early on that Sunday and found the Lord Jesus Christ, the tomb is empty. They went in, they saw the grave clothes lying there, but they did not see Jesus. Instead, they saw angels. The angels pronounced and proclaimed the greatest news of all time. Jesus is not here. He has risen just like he said. In all four of the Gospels, we are told the resurrection story. Paul includes the resurrection story in his writings in 1 Corinthians 15. In fact, 1 Corinthians 15 is all about the resurrection. I'd encourage you to go read 1 Corinthians 15 at some point in time. Throughout the different scripture accounts, we are told different aspects of the resurrection. The gospel writers tell us about the resurrection story from their point of view. Each account varies with the details, but the one remaining truth that is the same, that is on that third day, Jesus rose from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead caused even his followers to mistake his identity. At the tomb, Mary Magdalene thought Jesus was a gardener. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus thought Jesus was really the only one in Jerusalem who did not know what had happened. In the Gospel of Luke, we have three different records of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Dr. Luke painted a tapestry with three different panels. One panel is a story found in Luke chapter 24, 1 to 12, and we read that on Easter Sunday. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women go to the tomb early in the morning, and they find the stone is rolled away. They see two men inside glowing like lightning. The two angels say to the women, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again?" Luke chapter 24, verses 5 through 7. Dr. Luke tells us that the women remembered and ran back to tell the disciples the good news. The disciples think that the women are talking nonsense. However, we learn that Peter ran to the tomb after hearing the nonsense, only to find the tomb really was empty. Peter walked away wondering, what in the world just happened? This is that first panel Dr. Luke paints for us. The middle panel would be the story found in Luke 24, 13 to 34. This panel would be painted with Cleopas and possibly Mary, his wife, walking home to Emmaus from Jerusalem. Out of the blue, Jesus was walking alongside of them. As they walked and talked, Jesus opened up all the scriptures to them, beginning with Moses and the prophets, and explained to them all that must have happened to the Messiah. Even after all of that, these two still had a case of mistaken identity. It wasn't until Jesus broke bread with them that their eyes were opened. They've said, it's recorded in scriptures, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? What would it take for our hearts to burn within us? That's a good so what question. What would it take for our hearts to burn within us? What would it take for us to not have a case of mistaken identity regarding Jesus? What would it take for us to turn around and run 7 miles from Jerusalem or from Emmaus back to Jerusalem in order to tell the disciples that they had seen the risen Christ? Why is it that we have such a hard time seeing Jesus come alongside us in our lives? Why is it that we mistake his identity time and time again? Today we turn to the third panel of the Luke's magnificent tapestry of the resurrection story. I pray that our eyes would be opened today as we read the scripture that we'll see the risen Christ. May our hearts be strangely warmed as we open up God's word. Before we turn to God's word, let us come to the Lord God Almighty in a moment of prayer. God of all grace and truth, we come today to have our eyes opened by the living word of God so that we will not suffer from a case of mistaken identity. May we feel your love for us. Amen. Luke 24:36-49. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them, and he said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking that they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see here." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet, and while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Luke 24:36-49. We are told that Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women ran back from the tomb and told the disciples that Jesus had risen. We are told that Peter ran to the tomb and came back and told the disciples the same thing. The tomb is empty. Jesus has risen from the tomb. We are told that Cleopas and his companion came running back 7 miles in order to tell the disciples that their hearts were burning within them because they had seen and talked with Jesus who was risen from the tomb. After all of these encounters and reports, we are told that the disciples and all those gathered in the upper room were troubled and doubting. Troubled and doubting. Sometimes it can be the smallest thing that causes trouble. Doubt, fear, frustration, disbelief. Maybe a good so what question when I read it. Who here is troubled? Who here is doubting? I don't know you because I can't see you. Maybe I've never met you. But I can almost guarantee you that there are people here listening today that are troubled. There are people here that are doubting. On November 9, 1965, at 5:16 p.m., events were set in motion that brought New York City to a standstill. A backup relay switch at the Sir Adam Beck Power Station in Ontario, Canada, was accidentally set too low to handle increasing power transmissions, and it tripped. The power cascaded to the next line, which overloaded and transferred to the next line, shutting down that line one after another. In less than 5 minutes, the entire Northeast power grid was offline. The results were unimaginable. New York City was entirely blacked out within 10 minutes. There was no power to provide heat or light, no power to allow them to communicate. There was no power to run pumps, move sewage, or deliver water or gas. The power to run life support systems at hospitals was cut off. During the evening rush hour, an estimated 800,000 people were trapped in subways. Can you imagine that? Only half of the 150 hospitals had emergency power. At JFK Airport, 250 flights had to be diverted. With no light, no heat, no communication, 30 million people found themselves encompassed in a dark, silent, frightening world, all because of a ripple effect set in motion by a small relay switch that was set too low. The disciples had just experienced a blackout. The scripture tells us that the entire world experienced a blackout for 3 hours when Jesus hung on the cross and died. The disciples watched as their hopes were shattered. Jesus was crucified on the cross just the night before all of them had run for cover when Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. Peter then denied knowing Jesus 3 times. The disciples were troubled and filled with doubt. Are we a lot like the disciples? Are we fair weather friends? When trouble and doubt appear, we run for cover. As the disciples were huddled in fear, frustration, doubt, and discouragement, Jesus said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds?" Luke chapter 24 through 38. Maybe you might want to underline that. Why are you troubled? Why do you doubt? Why do doubts rise in your mind? Let's look at verse 36 for just a moment. Jesus enters the disciples' room. Notice the first thing he says, "Peace be with you." In Hebrew or Aramaic, "Shalom Aleichem." Shalom Aleichem. Peace be with you. When Jesus was born, the angel sang, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace on those whom his favor rests." Luke 2:14. Now, in Luke 24:36, Jesus comes and introduces peace again. Peace be with you. After Jesus shared the Last Supper with his disciples, he spoke with them. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I don't give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and don't be afraid." John 14:27. In John 16:27, he says, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you're going to have trouble. Take heart, I've overcome the world." When the world speaks of peace, I believe God wants us to build a foundation of hope. Let me say that again. When the word speaks of peace, I believe God wants us to build a foundation of hope. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. If you need prayer, you can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship. Click on the prayer icon, write up your prayer. And if you want a response, there's a place to write that too. And if you need a prayer immediately, you can always email me at pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. When the word speaks peace, I believe God wants us to build a foundation of hope. I read a story about the building of the Chase Manhattan Bank. When the building was halfway through construction, they discovered what no builder ever wants to learn. The 60-story massive skyscraper was not built on rock, but quicksand. At some point, if they didn't fix it, the building would sink, topple over, and destroy part of Manhattan. Something had to be done. Engineers were brought in to try and solve the problem. Then some geologists were brought in, and they stated that it would take 1 million years for the quicksand to solidify. Then someone came up with an innovative idea. They sank pipes deep within the quicksand and forced a solution of sodium silicate and calcium chloride into the quicksand. In a few days, the quicksand turned into solid, watertight sandstone. They were able to finish the building. Injecting the additives was ingenious. In the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah called Jesus the Prince of Peace. When Jesus came to earth, he came to bring peace, not as the world gives peace. Jesus told his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Here they were, a mere 3 days after Jesus was crucified, and their hearts are already troubled. Their minds are already filled with doubt. Boy, does that sound familiar. Just 3 days, and they were hiding away in the upper room. Maybe that's where you're at right now. You got the covers pulled over your head. You're afraid. You're troubled. You're doubting. You don't want to go outside. There's wars, there's rumors of wars, there's health concerns, financial concerns, maybe even relationship concerns, and your heart is troubled, and your mind is filled with doubt. Suddenly, Jesus enters into the midst of their doubts, their discouragements, their fears, their frustrations, their disbelief, and their doubts. What is the first thing that Jesus says? Peace. be with you. I pray right now, whoever's struggling, that Jesus's peace will enter into your heart. Amen. The whole reason we gather each week is so that we can worship God and hear the words of Scripture. Then we listen to how we can apply those words into our lives. Each week, I pray that Jesus walks into the room of our hearts. What's the first thing he says when he walks in? Peace. 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 Shalom. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be with you. I really believe that Jesus wants to enter into our troubles. Jesus really wants to enter into our doubts. Jesus wants to enter into our discouragements. And what he wants to do is infuse us with his resurrection hope. Peace be with you. So what? So what? That, you know, we read these scriptures, we hear them, we maybe hear them every Easter. So what? Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. Jesus asked the disciples to look at his hands and feet. Jesus asked the disciples to touch him. He wanted them to have hope. He wanted them to have peace. Jesus is not a ghost. Jesus is not a made-up story to make people feel good. Jesus was crucified just like he said, and on the third day he was raised back to life just as he said. Jesus tells his disciples to remember that all of this was predicted, prophesied. Everything he had said had to be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds so that they could understand. Wow, what a powerful statement. In Holman's dictionary, there are around 120 Old Testament prophecies listed that are fulfilled by Jesus. That's why Jesus is sharing all the scriptures with them. Jesus wanted them to base their hope not just on the miracle of the resurrection, but to base their hope also on the scriptures that promise the resurrection. Jesus concludes his encounter with the disciples in the upper room by saying, you are witnesses of these things, and I am going to send you what my Father hath promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Luke 24:48-49. The word witness is martureos. Martureos is one who gives a testimony, shares evidence, or becomes a witness. Dr. D. James Kennedy, a famous pastor, pointed out in one of his books that despite the church's starting with a small band of discouraged, doubting, and troubled disciples, the church became the greatest force for good in all of history. Among its accomplishments, the church brought about hospitals, universities, literacy for the masses, capitalism, free enterprise, representative government, the separation of political powers, civil liberties, the abolition of slavery, modern science, discovery of the new world, the elevation of women, the Good Samaritan ethic of charity, high standards of justice, elevation of the common person, the value of human life, the work ethic, the codifying and writing of the world's languages, the preservation of human life through the preservation of human life and the elevation of healthy lifestyles and a greater development and inspiration for music and art. Now, that's a whole mouthful of things that are credited because of what the church has done. So what? Every Sunday, we gather at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga. We gather in person and on Zoom. You can always join us at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings. We gather to have the living word rightly preached. Why? Because we are no different than the first disciples. just like them, we may be troubled. We may have our doubts. Well, let me not say may. We are troubled. We do have our doubts. We struggle with discouragement. And then we hear the living words of truth, and our foundation of hope is fitted with one more brick. Think about how one little relay switch covered an entire city in darkness. It wasn't anyone's fault who lived in New York City, but there they were, enveloped in a total blackout. I think we can relate. There have been times when we've been covered by darkness. Our world has come to a screeching halt, and there we sit and wait. The relay switch of our lives has gone haywire. The truth is that the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead will fix our broken relay. The resurrection will bring light to our darkness. The year was 1997. I had just graduated from seminary. I was out applying for jobs and going on interviews. I wasn't able to work as much as I needed to. We lived frugally and made the house payment, utilities, and whatever other normally monthly bills we had. But the month had arrived when we needed to go pay our house taxes. My wife, I call her Jack. Her name is Jacqueline. Zach and I didn't have the first or the second installment. They let the first installment slide and waited for the full payment. My wife and I tapped specific needs. We put the tax bill on the vent of our stove, face down. It was a visual reminder to pray for our specific needs. That bill had been taped there for months. With all of the seminary graduation stuff and our youngest daughter's high school graduation, there was no stuff left over for house taxes. The account was empty. The day finally arrived when the overdue tax bill was mailed to the house. My wife and I taped it to the stove vent too, and we prayed and prayed. How can we pay this $4,000 bill? I decided it was time to go down to the county courthouse and tell them that we needed an extension. Once I had a job, I would sell the house and pay the taxes. I opened the bill. There, across the middle of the bill in big, red, bold letters, was a sight I will never forget. Paid in full. I looked at my wife and I said, there's been some sort of mistake that says our taxes are paid in full. I had to get up and go to work early the next day, so my wife took the bill and called the office from the Christian bookstore where she had worked at part-time. My wife explained that there had been some sort of mistake, and we wondered how to correct it. The man on the other end of the phone said, there's no mistake, Mrs. Peters. Your house taxes are paid in full. My wife was so excited that she drove around town until she found my pickup truck. She came into the new house construction site where I was standing and working on a banister, building a new stairway. And she said, Dave, it's not a mistake. Someone paid our taxes. Wow. Because of the resurrection, Jesus walks into our lives. Where are we hiding in doubt and fear? And the light of the world speaks into our darkness and says, peace. Here, so what? The word martyria sounds like martyr, but it's witness. For the next 6 weeks up to Pentecost, I'm praying that you will be given a witness. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we give thanks for today and your great grace, and may we be witnesses in your name. Amen. God loves you, and so do I. The Lord bless you and keep you and make His face to shine upon you. God bless. See you next week.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. Or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.